guys, welcome to another episode. Patriot Ready 617. I'm your host, Quota. What's going on, guys? So I just wanted to just jump on real quick. You guys must have seen a few things in the news. We have Oliver Anthony out with the skyrocketed smash hit. Richmond, north of Richmond. Blowing up, but the last time I checked on that channel, we had, there was about 60 million views on that, and it wasn't even his channel. I don't know if it's associated with him or not, but it doesn't have Oliver Anthony. But though, if you go to type in Oliver Anthony on YouTube, it will pop up to his channel. So the funny thing was, is that, you know, and it was, you could tell it was just like an overnight success. I mean, you look at his channel and. And this was about a week ago from the last time I... Well, this is about a week and a half ago from when I looked at his channel to see how it was doing versus his other songs that he had going on. And it was just going to be cool to see the contrast between the overnight success from one song versus the next. So I go to his channel and you see Richmond, north of Richmond in the millions. And then you go to another song that he's got. That was at like 36,000, so... it was such a sure overnight success. It was pure organic. I loved it. There was no gimmick about it. And we haven't seen this type of, you know, musical need or consumption that fast since the likes of, you know, 50 Cent, Eminem. You know, Eminem is the fastest selling rap artist in history. He sold 2 million records in 1 week. You know, and that was hard to do when to get, you know, in early 2000s to get people. That was just, you know, Napster was just coming along. You know, a lot of pirated music was starting to come about. We had MP3 players at that point. And so no, I don't think we did. No. But nonetheless, I know pirating music was just starting to catch a little fire. You know, Eminem comes out and he drops friggin' 2 million, sells 2 million records in 7 days. You know, and those are in-store sales. Never mind what he did, you know, later on in years to come with new generations trying to, you know, listen to the music and stuff like that. So there's going to be always this, I think, for the golden, and I think that's why they call hip hop, and I don't mean to stray, I know we started from Oliver Anthony, but hip hop was pulling out a lot of numbers as far as in-store record sales and things like that. So with Oliver Anthony, going back to Oliver Anthony, he was on Joe Rogan's podcast and he's talking about how like 24 hours was so funny to him that everything that he touched was worth money now. So he wanted to like sell his truck and you know, it's just got the basics. He bought it for like, I don't know, a couple grand or something. So he was changing the oil with his buddy of his. And his buddy, he goes, "Oh man, I don't know where I'm gonna throw out this oil." He goes, "Dude, I'm not throwing that out. I'm putting that out on eBay." And you know, and it just like, you just looked at it like, wow, that's, you know, that's something like you can tell you made it when like people are, you know, using marketing techniques because you haven't trademarked his face. So it was like a towing company that had like his face outlined on the side of their truck, had this big beard, it was red. And, you know, you could tell that they were infringing on him and, you know, he hasn't did all this stuff because it was literally overnight success. So he didn't even have the attorneys to wrap around all this stuff that they didn't know if it was going to be sellable or not. You know what I mean? So now that it's sellable, he really has to get a lawyer just to wrap up and trademark a lot of these little things that he can spur off. So he makes Richmond, north of Richmond, and the guitar strings that he made that song with, he's gonna save because later on, if he's ever down and if he's ever in a financial pinch, he'll be able to sell those strings and, you know, make some money because, you know, that song is gonna be. I would at this point, everything that it stands for, regardless of all the dumb shit that surrounds it and what people think it is, if it's racist, it's not racist, if it's this, if it's that, you know, whatever it is. But I'm just saying, just on the merits of the music, that song is pretty much going to be a classic, just because it's a lyrical content, I mean, in the message that it's trying to bring forth. I mean, that is just one of those songs that, you know, if any, like, they just say if, like, you know, Hunter Biden was to get out of this shit, you know, you could play that, and, you know, Richmond, north of Richmond, that they're just going to be able to, you know, there's two different systems for people from elites to regular folks. So it was just really cool to see a humble dude, you know. Next thing, you know, imagine, like, you're sitting there, you make this song, you put it out, and, like, you know, and I don't think it was, like, the first day it came out, it was getting popular, but I know, like, after, like, maybe a few hundred people listened to it, it started spreading, like, this song is crazy. So, it just goes to show the power of music and the messages and stuff. So, And I'll tell you this, the power that he has right now is that he could sell a record, and if there was no internet and he was coming out 20 years ago, he'd have people flocking to the stores. Strawberries would still be, Jesus, he would have probably threw Strawberries a lifeline just from, you know, selling out that single. So, I mean, just picture yourself sitting there, and all of a sudden, you know, next thing you know, it's like you're getting phone calls, you're getting emails, people are taking the song, you know, Joe Rogan calls you, this one calls you, that one calls you, and you're just sitting there like, holy moly, like, is this what it is to make it? Yeah, but that thing, like, skyrocketed to the freaking, you know, deep space, bro. That thing was out of here. Gone, and it still is. And this, I would imagine, like, a lot of Republicans have heard the song now, and there's a lot of Democrats that probably hate the song, and yada yada yada, just because of the political climate we live in today. It's so outrageous that we can't even just sit down as a folks and, like, we did and just say, hey, you know, you're a numbskull, you know, now it's getting blown up.
What do you mean I'm a numbskull? You hurt my feelings. Like,
no, you have to have rhino skin. This, you know, in this world, people don't understand, this world is so mean that whatever you're getting said to, whatever is getting said to you now is shit compared to what whatever beliefs and convictions you damn stand on years to come from now, and it completes you as a human being. You receive your own identity and all the, you know, all your ideology, and you stand for something. When that starts coming into play, you know, you're not going to give a fuck what people say, you know, and you're going to have that rhino skin, because now you're going to stand up for convictions that you have. You know, let's just say, you know, hey, I'm not with it for the, you know, let's just say if it's CTI getting put in schools, like, I my son's going to start school soon, you know, and I want to have him not being taught something that's going to brainwash him, that his brain cannot even comprehend at his fragile age. Do you know what I mean? So, when a Democrat starts to stand on their convictions, they're going to find themselves in the same predicament that a lot of Republicans are, you know. And now that, as you can see, a lot of Democrats are starting to receive, one of them got mugged, I think. She got her leg broken. And she had some blood over her eye. I don't know if you guys had seen that, but it just looks weird, you know. And to me personally, is how does a Democrat? How does not even Democrat? I apologize, straight guy. What I'm saying is that how can a person break their leg and not be wincing in pain, and still have the thought process to put out a selfie, and not be wincing in the selfie? You just broke your freaking leg. I don't know, if I broke my leg, I'd be fucking hurt. You know, so I told my wife, I says, hey, she just broke her leg and she's not even wincing. Do you know what I mean? So, like, would she take the selfie and then break her leg? I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't see how that they, you know what I mean? And my wife said, well, maybe they didn't do this and do that. I'm like, what are you, nuts? I'm like, look at the photo. You know what I mean? And some people just don't want to believe what they see, or the simple truth that surrounds whatever it may be, you know, an image you're looking at, or a sentence, a paragraph, you know, whatever it is. So, yeah, it's just crazy. I just never knew the lady could... I didn't know you can get your leg broken and not be wincing in pain. I mean, if anybody's out there, please correct me, but I'm sure, 100% sure, that you're going to be hurting very badly to the point where you don't want to take a fucking selfie when your leg broken. I mean, shit. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's possible. It was a friend of mine. His wrist was broken, and, like, he was sitting there and he had it broken. He's like, look at my wrist, and it just like went straight, and then it just bowed out in the bottom and sunk. And then, and you know what I mean? It looked like this U, like it was a line, straight line, and then it U'd out, and then came back up and straightened back out. I'm like, what? And like, wow, it's freaking it. I'm like, wow. And I'm like, that doesn't. He's like, yeah, it hurts, but like, it was just weird. So I guess it's possible, but I don't know. To me, if you broke your leg, I would just put it like this. I guess I'm just such a fucking wimp that if I broke my leg, I'd be like, ah, what the hell? So, anyway, she puts out a selfie. But so now that these people are standing on the convictions, now they're starting to become two-faced. Now they're saying, oh, shit, what I said back then, I'm saying differently, which is in conjunction of what Republicans were saying years ago, you know, a couple of years ago. Like, hey, oh, you want to defund the police. Now you defunded the police, you got mugged. Now you're all thankful for the Minneapolis Police Department. You're grateful for this, you're grateful for that. Please track them down and get them and yada, 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 and all this. Now you want them to save you because it hit you. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, oh, I won't believe in anything until it happens to me. Well, just know it. It's out there. You know, let's just say you live in a nice, not in a crime neighborhood, and you have a person that lives in the city, and they go shopping together, and you go shop in the rural area, and that person doesn't lock their door, and the city person says, hey, you ain't gonna lock their door? I'm like, no, nobody's gonna do it out here. Now, that mind fuck for this city person is so overwhelming. Like, what? You're not gonna lock the door? Like, that shit can happen. You know, and then there's the person that will put rational thinking into it. Not saying that anybody from the city is not rational. What I'm just saying is that they'll ration it out a little bit and say, okay, well, my percentage is probably getting robbed right now in my car, or somebody going in my car at, say, 10:30 in the morning when I'm going shopping in like, say, Tingsboro, Massachusetts. It's, you know, it's the probability of that is very low. So... But it's just a mind fuck, and it's like a mind fuck for all the people, and I'm sure Democrats and Republicans, everybody that's looking at her and saying, see, well, we told you it was going to happen. Well, I wasn't going to believe it until it actually happened to me. Well, why does it have to be like that? Because there's other people, like other mothers and other little kids and people that are getting hurt, and they're asking you to fund the police department, but yet you will want to fund it because... nothing has happened to you yet, but now that it has, now you wanna jump the coattails and ride everything and ride everything that we were saying is just two-faced. You know, you made your bed, you lay in it, and now you just deal with it. You know, and I hope they find the people that hurt her, and it was in front of her two children, and it's a sad situation. Just as like it's a sad situation for every mother or daughter or any person out there, grandmother that gets mugged, is affected, and they should have the same type of protections that you want, because it's only fair. So, you know, and this is starting to spread out to New York. I mean, it's in Minneapolis now, it's in New York. Boston, we have mass casts where people are still sleeping on the streets. You got California and Skid Row. You know, Nevada, they're under the fucking bridges and the tunnels and shit. I mean, the list goes on and on. So this is not going to get any worse. It's not going to get any better. It's just going to get more worse and worse until somebody starts to do something about it. And I don't know what it is. Nobody will stand up and say, hey, this shit is wrong. You know, and I don't understand why we have a two-party system. We should just have right from wrong. You know, what is right in common sense thinking? What is right? you know, let's find out the, what would be the ripple effects for any type of laws that we put forth, okay? And let's see what the ripple effects and what it would have, what it would look like in time, and see how this law will it be a good law or not a good law? Is it, you know what I mean? So, to make a law that, oh, nothing under, what is it in LA, nothing under a misdemeanor is getting any attention, you know? So I seen a video, a guy walked right into a 7-Eleven or some kind of corner store in San Francisco, grabs a few sodas, grabs a little bit of aspirin, shit like that, keeps it under like $50, $100, so there's no grand larceny. And, you know, at least in our state, you have, you know, larceny under 250, grand larceny is anything over $1,000. I mean, grand larceny is anything over 250. And so anything under that is really just not worth the DA's time. And some American people don't understand that. They don't understand that the court looks at it like a job and a business. They have to take the murderers off the street first before they go after like the little like hot, like little robberies and misdemeanors, and you're stealing your Pepsis and your earrings out the fucking store. When we used to do when we were kids, like we'd go to Macy's and pop like a whole bunch of Cuban zirconias in our mouths. I guess we were iced out back then. And then, you know, they would come get us, like, you know, we'd gone down the block and they'd, hey, get up against the wall. We start spitting them out and we'd be kicked away. We'd be kicked out of that store for that time and not allowed to come back for 2 years or so. But they wouldn't call the cops because it was like $10. He says, if it was over $10, we would have had to call the cops. You're lucky it was $9.99. You know what I mean? And I'm like, wow, no shit, huh? So, you know, it's how severe the crime depends on the response time of the cops, you know what I mean? So it almost balances out like that. So anyway, this guy goes into 7-Eleven, doesn't even buy the soda. No, this is his patrons paying for shit. This guy walks in and grabs something for free. If I was in the line, I'd have said, oh, fuck it, it's like that, I'm walking out too, shit. You know what I mean? I don't know how. And that goes to my point. It boils down, and you would say, well, I don't know how, like, somebody in the line wouldn't just do the same thing and just walk out. Hey, if he's going to do it, why the fuck am I paying? You know what I mean? Especially when you're paying your bills, and, you know, you see this guy not paying his bills, and he doesn't even want to pay for the beverage that he's, you know, wanting, that he wants. Because they know that they're not going to prosecute him. So, what stops the other patrons that are in line paying for their groceries and paying $2.49 for a fucking soda, or, you know, whether it be $12 for a pack of cigarettes? Hold on 1 second. Hi, lady. Thank you. You too. And so they have to. So now, what stops him? It boils down from right and wrong. What's right is to pay. Is to pay your fucking share. If you want something, pay for it. When you want them to pay for their shit, if they were buying from your store, you know what I mean? Of course you would. So it boils down from right and wrong. So that's why I don't understand why do we have a two-tier system? We should just have a fucking right and wrong system. Where's the right and wrong party? Do you know what I mean? And what's right and what's common sense and what's right party is what I'm down with. Don't tell me it's a fucking independent. I don't care. It's not an independent. It's right and wrong. That's it. Do you know if you was ever in the House of Representatives when you go and get anointed? Let's say you won your vote and they all converge on the fucking Capitol to get their little marching orders and shit. When they walk, the first thing when they walk in, there's two people. Democrats go to the right, fucking Republicans. I mean, Democrats go to the left, Republicans go to the right, and that's that. They don't even talk, you know. So what is the what? And so when you see that, what is that called? Division. So a house that is divided can't stand. You know what I mean? And so the more parties we have, is the more division we create. And then it's going to get petty, like, well, we don't want to do, you know, $1 million for our budget. You know, I'm just doing a quick figure. We don't want to do $1 million. No, we want to do $999,900, you know what I mean? What? So you're a dollar cheaper? Yeah, but we're better. Do you know what I mean? Like, it becomes petty to where, you know, they're all in it. They're all in on it. They're all in on it. So we should just have a right and wrong system. What the fuck is right and what the fuck is wrong? Do you know what I mean? And so, you know, when you look at it like that, it's pretty simple. So you go, okay, hey, how's our bridges doing in our country? They could be better. They could be better, Mr. President. All right, well, let's get them fixed. I wanna fucking give me a list of you know, the top 500 bridges that need to, you know, immediate concerns. Okay, and get guys working on that right now. All right, and I'm not paying. We're not paying the exuberant rates that we used to pay. We're not paying fucking, you know, $10,000 for a foot for steel no more. No, we're paying the fucking market price. There's not going to be $36,000 for a toilet. It is not going to be, you know, $850,000 to do a study on you know, how fast facial hair grows on your nose. All right, I don't need to know that. Okay, we don't need to be spending that much money. So everything's going for market price. You want to up it another 12%? Fine, that's great, because it's about 90% cheaper than what the fucking last administration was paying shit for. All right. So now that we got that all out of the way, start working on the bridges. That's the main thing of that infrastructure. Next thing, what else is going on? As a matter of fact, where's my transportation secretary? I want to make sure all fucking roads, potholes are fixed in the Northeast. I want it once that fucking ground is warm. I want concrete getting poured into those potholes, and I want it fixed, and I want it fixed good, so it's gonna keep happening every freaking season up there. All right, good. Now go down the southern states and start figuring out which area of that land that we could start farming on that wouldn't be affected that wouldn't be affected by the climate and the weather that happens in and around that area. Do you know what I mean? And what crops are sustainable in that area from this time to that time? Get somebody on that, you know? I mean, it doesn't seem fucking hot. So you had Trump that ran this country like a business, because it is a business. Do you know what I mean? We outsource stuff. We buy stuff from other people. We buy printed money from Boston. And, you know, whatever they're charging more because it's the federal government. But, you know, and that's the thing. That's our fucking tax dollars. So we pay, you know, 50, 60% over the price of what it really costs for whatever material thing we're buying. And everybody takes advantage of that because it's the fucking federal government. Yeah, but the federal government is tied to American people's wallets and pocketbooks. So when you say, oh, it's the federal government, no, it's the fucking people. That's the people's money. That's how it should be represented now, the people's money. You know, when you refer to tax dollars, you got to refer to it as the people's money. Because when you say tax dollars, people say, oh, well, the tax dollars that comes out of my check, like the $30 or the fucking $80 that they take out every fucking week. Yeah, that money. They're just blowing, and the company down the street that lives in your town that's providing the paper that we fucking spend this fucking fiat currency on. Well, guess what? He's overcharging the government because he knows it's what? The federal government. And so now what happens? That guy is now you see that fucking same guy that sells the fucking money that we print, that sells the paper that we print this fiat fucking money on, right? And he overcharges that money exuberantly because, again, it's the federal government's money, right? Which is AKA the fucking people's money. Now you see him, he's selling that, he's overtaxing it, he's overpricing it, and now what's he doing? He's riding around, he can buy a big fat fucking house in the suburbs and look at you like you're a peon because he's taking your fucking money. Even though he's taking his own money, he's making more in the flip side of it. You know, his kickbacks are huge. Okay? So that's how this goes. Once it's almost like once it serves an individual as good, they could totally forget about their brothers and sisters. So as what I'm saying is that, like, let's just say the owner of that printer company should say, hey, look, you know what, if I'm going to get charged this amount, you know, I'm gonna give my employees, you know, a fat fucking raise, because we all know what's going on. But that's the reason why a lot of people said, hey, fuck this, I'm not working for my boss no more, because, you know, they can, you know, overcharge labor, they can overcharge a light bulb, wherever it is, because you're buying it from the company, which buys it from the same company that you could buy it from at different prices. But when you're already sitting there in a light company, they want to overcharge you 30% for the fucking goddamn same light bulb. It's ridiculous. There's nothing different or better about that fucking light bulb but the price difference. So, you know, and that helps that gentleman, but it doesn't help you. So, and then the government gives him fucking tax breaks and kickbacks because he's a business fucking man, and he owns something in the city or the town he's living in. So he gets a fucking nice, hey, good pat on the back for fucking robbing you out of the same fund that we all fucking get robbed from. You know, it's ridiculous. It's fucking ridiculous. And that, I think that should be over with. That should be over with. You know, you shouldn't be able to go to a landscaping company and say, yeah, hey, take care of my landscaping, and they charge you, you know, $60 for a sprinkler head when that same fucking sprinkler head is $30 down the street or in the same building. It's just because you're buying it from the landscaping company and they're putting it in, and oh yeah, we're gonna charge you the labor that it puts in, and it might take, like, you know, an hour and a half, but they're gonna charge you $4 because now they need a minimum. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. It's fucking ridiculous. And I hate those business. You ever see those business owners? I hate to be all going on a tandem right now. You ever see the business owners? They're like, say, well, you know, I know I'm in, everybody thinks I got money because I'm in business. Well, listen here. You wouldn't be in business still if you wasn't making money. Okay? So shut the fuck up and don't tell me that you ain't making any money because you just came back from a fucking trip to Florida. You bring you and your fucking your family of four around. Okay? So shut up. I hate that, business owners. Oh, I don't make a lot of money. Even though I got my own business, I don't make a lot of money. Yeah, fuck you. You get tax breaks better than us. You get. That's why they always say, hey, you want to do something? Get your own business. So, you know, I just want, that's the whole, I just wanted to go down that road as far as taxes and things. I wanted to touch on all of it, Anthony. What else was there that I seen? Did anybody hear about Mia Khalifa? I guess she was on like her OnlyFans. She was streaming. I don't know what platform she was streaming on, but I think her son actually seen her, or one of the son's friends or something. But these kids were like fucking 8 years old, and they seen her, and they were like, oh my god, we just see my, like, how do they even know her is fucking beyond me. That was the crazy shit. But the title of the video said it was Mia Khalifa's son that fucking seen her like that, and I was just like, there's no way that could be her son, you know, looking at her like, that's fucking nuts. You know, so I don't know, it was weird, but that's a cool video you guys might want to check out. Just passing the toll because we went on a fucking a dispensary run. And so I thought, because like you can only get an ounce out of the fucking dispensaries in Massachusetts. How are ya?
Hi, great, thank you.
Thank you. Day. You as well. And you can only get an ounce out of the dispensary, so I was like, yo, fuck this, I'm gonna go to this dispensary and I'm gonna go down the street and grab me some wax too. So I goes down to fucking that dispensary, and I'm hoping that they won't say, yo, hey, you already fucking copped an ounce, like you can't get no more weed. So fucking, I get in there and they're ringing me up, and I'm like, oh, cool, they'll let me go. So I told the dude, and he goes, yeah, but if he was on the medical side, he goes, they'd be tracking you. I says, well, what's the limit? He goes, well, you get like 10 ounces a month. And I was like, oh shit, that's plenty, man. 10 ounces, that's like almost like a fucking pound of bud. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's about a half an hour worth of fucking bud being smoked. You know, I can smoke about 2 ounces. If the way they have it priced out here in the Northeast, and that's another thing. The fucking prices on marijuana are insane. There needs to be somebody that overlooks the prices, because it is pure fucking it's price gouging at its finest, dude. Like, and no bullshit. Like, they'll get it. Like, no bullshit, dude. And I'll explain it to you as I go, right? So you can go to this place in Lowell called The Cannabist, which was once called Patricia, all right? And they have, like, three locations. One in downtown Massachusetts on Milk Street, one in Lowell, and another one in, like, fucking Fitchburg or something. Like, I don't really remember where the other one is. But, they fucking... They'll have Chocolupe, right? And I told my wife about this. They had Chocolupe 2 weeks ago for $18.50 a fucking eighth. $18.50 an eighth. Now, with the 20% tax, that works out to almost be about $40, okay? Which is about what the street is. So you're like, all right, cool, that's a fucking deal. Like, that's a beautiful deal. I'll take that, especially it's, you know, dispensary cannabis, you know, all that stuff. So it's worth it, right? A week later, that same bud is now $30 an eighth, okay? And when it first came out, it was $50 an eighth. So they'll introduce this shit, and what happens is that if it's a good seller, they'll keep it at $50. If it's not, they'll bring the price down to get rid of some of the inventory until they're at a decent size, and then they put it back up. So if, let's say if they have, like, 10 pounds... And it's going to be old in a couple... it's going to start getting old. What they'll do is they'll sell half... You know, probably like fucking 8 pounds of that at $18.50 a fucking eighth, okay? And then once they're down to their last pound, they'll jack it right back up to $30-$35 an eighth. I find that so fucking distasteful that it's like, you know, listen, I just bought this weed at $18.50 an eighth. Now you're telling me it's $30? Yeah. Like, what? What is so different that allows you to charge this right back? Like, well, how do you guys that is so horrible that they're able to price the market the way they price the market. Now, I go check their menu today, and they don't have no 1850 ounces. So I said, go fuck yourselves. I'm not fucking paying that much. So I go down to Nature's Remedy and get me an ounce of Gary Payne, the same fucking strand that they got in fucking in the cannabis, right? At $45 an eighth. When it first came in there, they were selling it at $55 an eighth. Now, on top of taxes, that becomes out to about $72 an eighth. For an eighth of weed is almost $100, bro. That is crazy. That is like $4.80 a fucking ounce, okay? Now, keep that number in your head. Today, I go to Nature's Remedy. I buy an ounce of Gary Payne at $145, and with their taxes, brings it up to $172 an ounce. Still a good deal. It's under $200. Listen, nobody in Massachusetts or in New Hampshire can pay, you know, between $1,500 and $1,800 in their rent, and then gas and lights and electricity, and then go down the street to fucking say, hey, I want to fucking smoke some bud, and then go pay $480 an ounce for fucking a leaf. You're out of your mind. So my little disclaimer is the home of the $100 ounce is here to stay. And whoever does that, trust me, you're going to make a fucking mint. A mint. You'll have a line coming out of your ass all the fucking time. And don't tell me none of these dispensaries in Massachusetts are only going and getting, you know, all this marijuana is getting supplied by a few commercial growers. I don't give a shit what you tell me. You guys are getting that into from California. I mean, who's to say? Listen, like, it's like diamonds, bro. You know, they have the seed to sale fucking tracking system. Listen, once the bud is taken off the fucking tree, there is no telling what that strain is. Okay, so mix it in with like 5 other strands and try to tell me if you can find that same particular fucking bud. You might, some potheads would, but the common fucking bartender or legal person, lawman, wouldn't be able to. So what the fuck? You know, they have cameras all in the place. I'm sure there's a fucking blind spot. Listen, if a kid can fucking crab walk up a wall and escape a prison, I'm sure there's some dark spots in a fucking grow canopy area where you can fucking suck down a few couple ounces off this tree, a few ounces off that tree, and out the back door that fucking ounce goes. All right, don't fucking tell me. Do not tell me. And don't be naive to people. Don't be naive that that shit ain't happening. That's exactly what's happening. You can't have these prices the way they are and expect to... And then still cry and blow them out and say, oh, we haven't made a profit. You have three locations. It was not my fault that you came out with three locations. You didn't care about a profit when you was putting up fucking $6-9 million in liquid just to fucking ensure that fucking gig. Okay? So whoever's backing you has enough money to invest in this and know that it's worth the fucking investment. It is. And that is for sure. I mean, I think Massachusetts pulled in a couple billion dollars out of marijuana alone. So, you know, and it's kind of on the projections. It's about $50 to $60 billion in fucking North America, and about $150 to $200 billion worldwide. All right. Oh, that's a nice bell. Yeah, that's fucking beautiful. And so, you know. And the more you sell it cheaper, because people can still say, I ain't gonna pay, you want me to pay $480 for some fucking Donnie burger? And when I can go get a fucking, a couple of gallons of white Zinfandel and still You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. I could piss out fucking Cristal for Christ's sakes for the amount of money you guys pay on marijuana. It's insane, the prices. So that's how and I just think that this should be a watchdog group that just says, look, you can't do that no more. You guys are running this the way you see fit. You guys are taking advantage of people. Potheads are some of the nicest people. I've never seen a fight between two potheads and going into the fucking facility. I haven't seen nothing. They're the nicest people, and you want to fucking rob them. For a flower that you claim is 26%, you know, I don't know if it's really 26%, but, you know, all I know is there's some fucking fine-ass bud out there in that Homicide Collective there in California, you know, burning with cookies, and, you know, junky seeds fucking down there, and, you know what I mean, junky, what is this? Fucking, I can't even think of it. Prob King? No, my Prob King is pretty. I don't know. The fucking genetics. They have a war with cookies right now. So, dude came up with runs. You know, and yeah, and it's like, so now these strands are so popular. What's he want for fucking a fucking 10 seed beans? He wants $450 from fucking Funky Genetics or fucking. Junky genetics. He wants like $450 for 10 packs of seeds. Are you fucking alright, dude? Are you out of your fucking mind? Like, some of those seeds won't even pop. If one seed doesn't pop, you're fucking out. Do you know what I mean? He's expecting the first Novus to drop some fucking bean into the fucking soil and expect to grow a tree that's worth 10 pounds. Not everybody's fucking. Not everybody's a fucking master fucking grower. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, oh my god, I'm getting fucking stuck in time. You know what I mean? Not everybody's a master grower. So to do that is just, it's just horrible. I just find it just horrible when people can get some real good genetics at a decent price. I mean, God, you could sell it for $60 at a reasonable price. So anyway, but cookies and that company's in that. But I don't know how it is in your states for prices with marijuana, but for my state, I am getting locked in here with these fucking slowpokes, and I'm just trying to, like, break free from somebody, and I'm just hoping somebody will let me go. Nice. And so, now that I got that out of the way. But, so anyway, folks, I don't know what you guys' plans are for today, but we just got, like I said, we just got back from a weed haul. What else was out there in this week's kind of news that I caught? I caught Joe Biden. I caught Joe Biden walking out on a medal. He was walking out on a Medal of Honor recipient, and he puts the medal around the guy's neck, and then oh shit, he puts the medal around the guy's neck, and walks right out of the whole. He rocks right out of the ceremony, rides right out on the guy, and fucking. And it wasn't the end.
So it wasn't the end of the ceremony. So
Karine Jean-Pierre, I don't know if I'm probably butchering her name. Mrs. Pierre, she comes out and she says, "Oh, that was totally planned and that was deliberate. That's bullshit. He forgot it, and he forgot it really good to the point where this and the Medal of Honor recipient. If you listen to his story, guys, it was crazy. Like, this dude was in, you know, Laos or something, Cambodia. I don't know. It was like the First World War, Second World War, and Vietnam. I'd say. I think it's more like Vietnam. But nevertheless, right? Not to disrespect him, he's in a chopper, right? And he's going in to get it's an exfil. He's got to get these dudes out of there. He's gonna get some other soldiers out. They're fucking pinned down. Enemy shooting, peaching them up, right? Dudes are getting hit. They're down to their last little bit of ammo. This motherfucker comes down and saves the day, right? He's laying gray. He's laying a lot of fucking air suppressant fire. Rockets. He starts running out of shit. He lowers the. So you ever see like a helicopter, the old school helicopters like Apaches, where they have the rocket fucking holsters and shit on the side, look like big fucking giant tits on the side of the helicopter? Well, that's what the little rocket holders were, right? So when he lands, right, you know how they had the little bar where they would step on? The soldiers got, it was so fucking crazy and so hot by the hot exfil trying to get out of there and all the fire that they were taking. They just jump, two soldiers jump on the rocket holsters and the other two jump on the little bars, the stepping bars, the step bar. They sit on that and they fucking leave the fucking place. Imagine on the rocket fucking holders, bro. Backwards. He goes out, they straddle him backwards, and we were out of there. I was like, you gotta be shitting. And to walk out on this guy with a story like that, that is fucking an ass. That's an asshole move. You know, that's a real asshole move. And all he has to do is call that gentleman back and say, "Hey, listen, I apologize. I'd love to have dinner with you, and you can tell me more of your story. I was really interested. I apologize, and I'd love to have you back." You know, and make it as a dinner with a war hero. Do it as a fundraiser. We'll set up another fundraiser for POWs or something or whatever. I don't know. So anyway, it was just funny how he walked out, but he's only got one or two more gaps before fucking he's, you know. I don't think he knows, but I'm sure he's starting to, I don't think he knows, but I know Jill has got the feeling that his time's coming. I don't think he's going to be president. His time's coming. I think the Democrats are sitting there and saying, "Hey, well, what we're going to do is we're going to do the October surprise." It's just not going to be in October because whoever they put forth, like a Gretchen, Wilmore, or Whitmore, or a Gavin Newsom, Tim Kaine, if they wanted to go with him again, or Hillary, or Michelle, they're going to need at least a good 10 months to get their shit going. I mean, you're going to need 2 months just to get your shit going. So somebody's preparing in the wings right now, as we speak, as my family. And there's going to be a thing called a dubbed October surprise. And it's going to be, one of those few people that I've named in the Democratic side that are going to come out and start saying, you know, "I'm running for president." Now you have Robert F. Kennedy. You know he's running for president, and he's up. He's like 20% in the polls. But they'll do it. They won't have a contest. They're gonna have an uncontested fucking debate. So Biden already, you know, kind of accepts the nominee because he's a president, and that's usually what happens. So the Democrats, when it's a Democratic president, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but when you have a Democratic president. And after his first term, and there's going to be another election, on that, whoever side, whether it be Democrat or Republican, whoever's in the office that represent one of those parties, will for the next election, will not have a contested debate. So will not be a debate, because when you first voted for him, he won the nominee. So now that he's president, he's pretty much the nominee because it's president. So, you know, and that's usually how it goes. So if Donald Trump wins this presidency, if he didn't have it before, he could run for a second term, and he wouldn't. He'd be uncontested. Nobody would debate him. You know what I mean? Because he's already got the nominee. And plus, the polls would say, you know, a lot of Republicans are going to vote for him anyway. So he solidifies the nomination, and he would have an uncontested re-election or an uncontested re-election. Due to the fact that he's, you know, he's the number one Republican, you know. So that's why a Democrat will not have to debate or go have to seek the nomination a second time for this second term when there's a re-election happening. So if Biden, well, you might hear this term pop up if Biden wins, is what you call a lame duck session, meaning a lot of shit don't get passed because that president is going to be leaving the office. So you can't really pass a whole bunch because the Republicans are going to give you a fight because now they don't know who's going to be the president for the next 4 years. So it becomes a lame duck session. Nothing gets done. And that's where I'm saying that's wrong. That's wrong. So we suffer because you guys want to play fucking politics? Let's get this politics shit out the way, and let's start doing what's right and what's wrong for the American people. It's right for us to come to work. They pay us a good penny, okay, to come to work. And we should be going to work, and we should be working not for only the people, but for our country in itself, because this is the greatest nation on the face of the fucking planet, and we should be treating it like such. So let's get the politics out of the way. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if I'm a Republican. At the end of the day, we're all fucking Americans. That's one fact that we can get around. That's one fact that we cannot deny. We're all Americans, right? So let's do what the best is in the interest of this nation we call the fucking America. So what the hell? I don't get it. It's like, this is retarded. You know what I mean? And keep some of these rules. No one man is king, and all this other bullshit. And that's wrong. And if you want to keep stepping in that way, we'll just have our military fucking shoot you. And then now you're gone. Okay. So anybody that's gonna think that they're gonna run this place like they're the fucking end all be all is totally wrong. And that's one thing that the founding fathers blessed us with was that. Was the reason why we carry firearms. So no one man thinks he's king. And the government doesn't tread on us. There should be a government of the Americas, and they should just be taking care of what it is for America. I mean, you got people fucking crisped, burnt to a crisp in Hawaii. No fucking homes, no electric, no nothing. Okay? And they're American. And we send them millions of dollars when we send fucking people in Ukraine billions of dollars. That is so fucked up. You put a fundraiser and you put fucking some celebrities in front of it, like Oprah Winfrey, the worst person that just pants out pillows. That's a fucking slap in the face when she's a goddamn billionaire. She could fucking donate $10 million without a blink of an eye. $10 million to that lady is like $10 fucking. She's a billionaire. She's a fucking billionaire. She'll get tax write-offs on half, couple fucking dollars. Listen, at the end of the day, if you can't take all some fucking lump sum and fucking sneeze on and say, here, I'm putting $10 million fucking down. Everybody give me a name. Everybody's getting $100 fucking grand from here on out. You know what I mean? It's like it becomes up to $100 million. Like, what's it going to take to give everybody at least $100 grand in their pockets? Right now, what is it going to take? $100 grand. What's it going to take? Do you know what I mean? $50 million to populate fucking back Lahaya? You know what I mean? And then the insurance as well. We want to pay all that money. No, because all you want to do is go down and try to fucking steal the land from underneath of people. You pieces of shit. Pieces of fucking shit. And you got the nerve to send them to give them lugats and emergency money when the fucking FEMA dude forgot to didn't fucking sound the alarm because he thought everybody's gonna run towards the fire. Are you serious?
Well, they do that for the tsunamis while there's a fucking fire. They're probably saying, hey, this is what it's gonna, you know, anything helps right now, get the fuck out of here. You know? So, you know, I just find that so humiliating and so just so disingenuous and just so un-American and so wrong in every so many ways. It's unhuman. It's heartless. It's just horrible. It's just horrible. And these are the people that, like, God forbid, like, if anybody wanted to strike America with a bomb, a nuclear bomb or whatever, was going to set it off, like, Hawaii would be one fucking target thing in this fucking strike. Okay, because we got bases there. That's like our first point of fucking, you know, safety as far as any threats from China, Russia, or the, you know, the Far East. So, it's just, you know, it's so fucking ridiculous. It's a slap in the face to those people. Slap in the face. I'd be on every social media event. Then you got people out there saying it's, you know, lasers. And how did this... Well, you know, one guy was sitting there, right? And it was funny. One dude was... He's looking around at these cars. And he's like, oh, it could be a DW laser. And I'm like, oh, here we go with the fucking lasers again. And he goes, why did it stop here? Listen, people know that fires can jump, right? You ever see fires jump across the street, okay? Because the fucking flames can stretch across the street and they ignite something across the street. Next thing you know, the fire just jumped, right? Okay. Flying embers. There's embers that fly in the air, okay? And those are very hot. So if you have a very dry area, you know, I'm sure if you were a kid, do you know how fast it takes for a dry leaf to burn? It's like nothing, dude. It takes nothing for that thing to burn. So fires can jump, right? And there was a hurricane on one side of the coast, okay? Now, it's a mountain, correct? So when you have... So once that wind comes from the west side and goes over that peak of that mountain, it's going to come down, okay? So anything on the top of that mountain is going to be pretty much safe because the flow of the wind, okay? So if it's going from west to east, right? So it's going in a straight line. Once it hits that ridge, the wind is now going to cascade down. So anything above that is pretty much safe due to the fucking wind. So it's any long flames that are stretching anywhere are going to be pretty much blown in the other direction because of the sheer amount of constant wind that is, you know, 300 miles off the fucking coast. So it's just a real tragedy that us Americans allow our government to give them nothing, but we will give Ukraine a ton, bro. Like, it's insane. Like, I would be so pissed off. You know, I'd be so pissed, so fucking pissed. And I think some of you Americans should be too, because that's us. That's you and me at any time. You know what I mean? And the only reason why they don't give a fuck about them people is because they're not Anglo-Saxon Americans. Same reason why they try to go after fucking Alaska and the Eskimos and shit is because there's some rule in Alaska now that they can't transfer their land to another person or something like that. It has to stay in the family. So once that family member loses it, that's it. It's over. So Alaska is soon to be populated. I don't know how long. I'd probably say until, I'd say 50 years, because whatever generation holds it now won't hold it in the future. So 50 years, between 30 and 50 years from now, once they're all dead, it's it. The land's gone. I mean, once that person is dead, so like if I bought land in Alaska, I couldn't transfer that to my son. You know what I mean? And so that's that. It's it. So the frontier is over. And that's why I think you're starting to see a lot of these wildfires in Canada pop up, because, I mean, it's all about oil. It's all about oil and new territories to inhabit, smart cities and things alike, you know. So
You know, that they're already thinking about the 21st century as opposed to, you know, real customized living, a higher economy. I mean, you know, what you see, I think my prediction is like what you see in the stock market right now, the 30,000 points is going to be nothing. That'll hit 100,000 points because, you know, your kids right now are probably either going to become, you know, social media vloggers and you're going to see a lot of that because, you know, I mean, kids don't do crime like they used to do when I was a kid. I mean, we used to go and spray paint buildings. You don't see a lot of kids spray painting buildings. You don't see them tagging. Where are they? They're in their room playing on the computer, and they've been doing that since the PS3. And a big reason was because of Call of Duty. You know, everybody knew that they could hang in a lobby and play Call of Duty. So they were like, yeah, fuck this, I'm gonna play Call of Duty. I can still see my friends. They're not at the basketball court no more. They're in their room. I gotta get on Zoom and shit and talk to them. So, you know, I just seen this coming, and so now it's just. So people, you know, and a lot of these young kids now are getting into investments and things and such. So it just goes to show that there's gonna be a bigger economy out there that is there now, and it's gonna expand because, you know, like a lot of people say, I think the middle class is gonna be abolished. There's gonna be, you know, I would say just like there's going to be a rich class and then there's going to be an elite class. That's it. Do you know what I'm saying? And the rich class is going to be the rich, which you see now, is going to be the new middle class. And the elites are going to be the people that own these, you know, corporations and buildings. Like, it's going to be insane. So, like, anybody that you see in my bracket are either going to be living in the fucking Nevada desert, you know. Like a Burning Man. If you ever watched Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome and you look at Burning Man, you can see that they are right now culminating and brewing a Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome type of feel. Okay? Because they do this every year, and you see people come out with these Mad Max like fucking vehicles and hockey masks and shit and all these little things, you know what I mean? And, you know, you had one guy, he flew around Burning Man, and his little copter was like the guy that was in the Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome fucking movie. So it's like, you know, it literally is what it is right now. It's coming about. I mean, I'm just waiting for the Thunderdome to be built and fucking have at it. Now, how do you say to yourself, well, how would that happen, Wayne? Well, oh shit, my thing's about to end. Hold on, I'll be right back, guys. Hold on. Oh, shit. Hey, guys, and we're back with this week's headlines. I'm your boy, Quarter, coming back. We're just coming back off that break real quick because I was running out of time on that episode. This is running longer than I thought. But, well, I just wanted to finish that point. So the Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome feel and how Burning Man is really starting to culminate that. And I wanted to talk about who owns that land. And if you look at the name, they go to Black Rock Mountains in Nevada. Okay, Black Rock Desert in Nevada is where Burning Man takes place every year. And these people come out and they, you know, have fun and act a fool for 3 days in the desert, and they light a wooden figure of a man, and they put it on fire, hence Burning Man. So to me, it's nothing but a winter solstice, a winter solstice ritual. Okay, is what they are, and it's druids. It's people that think they're druids, and there's something else more to that. But nonetheless, what they're trying to, if you look at that, and you see all the little creations that people make out of their RVs or bikes. You know, I was just saying before we came to the break is that, you know, there was a guy that flew over Burning Man,
because they were stuck in the rain. There was a lot of torrential rains, monsoon rains. They flew over, they came over the desert for that weekend and left them really stuck in the mud, in the literal sense, in that clay, which pretty much dries up and it's like cement. You can make, it's almost like you could literally make, you know, pots and cups out of. So, nonetheless, people were stuck. Burning Man was crazy this year. But it reminds me of Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And like I said, all the creations that people make. And so, all I'm really waiting for is the Thunderdome to come about. Now, before we ended on the break, I was to say, well, I was to mean, if somebody posed that question, well, Wayne, you would say to yourself, how would they create something like Thunderdome? And I'd say, well, you need first, you're gonna market it like it's a good place. So let's just say, hey, in 2030, that year's Burning Man, we're gonna have, the USC is gonna hold a fucking hold the fight against, you know, let's say Nate Diaz and McGregor. Okay, I'm just saying, of course they wouldn't be fighting at that time, but I'm just saying it, you know, McGregor and Mayweather are gonna fight at Black Rock Desert for this year's Burning Man in a Thunderdome style match. All right, who wouldn't want to see that? So now you got all word the side of donuts are about woohoo. So now you got motherfucking you know, right? So now you got people wanting to do that. Now you got the USC fighters, you're doing this thing, and they're out in the desert. And now you got the Hollywood people, right, bringing their little creations out of like the steampunk themes and things like that. Now it's gonna get more outright. All right, that's how they start grooming that shit in. But it has to be a slow boil. They don't want to do it right away. Of course, that's their thing. And so now they start to set up some kind of like, you know, shitball stadium that can survive the weather year in year. So now it becomes like every year there's gonna be some type of, it's like almost becomes like the Super Bowl halftime. Well, who's gonna, you know, perform at Burning Man this year? You know, Chris Rock had to get help because he was stranded out there. And before they really start to put stars in there, they would have to pave that road. Okay, I think it's like 6 miles worth of road, or 9 miles worth of road that they would have to pave. And they would have to make at least 3 lanes because that traffic is like 9 hours to get out of. So they would have to have like at least, you know, I would have at least 4 lanes, have them get the hell out of there. And now you can see how this stage gets set, okay? So now they get this place going. They got a stadium, let's say. They got a few vending places. It's all steampunk, mind you. It's all steampunk, so these places can survive the climate in the desert, whether it be a lot of rain in the clay or it be a lot of fucking, you know, dry days and sandstorms and dust devils alike, that it would have to survive. So they don't put a lot of money into them. And it gives you this rustic steampunk feel. Now, let's just say something crazy, like an Armageddon situation. You're going to have people that flock out there. All right, because now it's got some kind of infrastructure set up. It's got the stadium. It's got those, like I said, it would have concession stands. It might have a fucking another building that has some fucking, you know, whatever. It would just be structures there that you could actually, you know, hide out. So now you're way in the fucking Black Rock Desert Mountains, and now you're all alone. You're in this place. You can see people come from miles and miles away. You're pretty much set. I mean, that would be the place to go if you're in a fucking dooms type scenario situation. Is you would want to go to the fucking desert because you would have a 360 point of view. Okay. And if you get a high altitude little perch, you've got a fucking really good fucking, you know when people are coming. I mean, you could just see the dust flying up. You would know when people are coming. You would have all the time in the world to fucking flee. You know what I mean? You'd have at least an hour fucking head start. I mean, if you had a 10-mile visibility, 10 miles, you got about, that's about 10 miles in driving would be, what, it would be getting take about 13 minutes to run, drive. What? To drive a mile is like 2 minutes. So 50 miles to really, yeah, you'd have almost like fucking 10 miles. You'd have about, you know, 20 minutes, 15 minute head start.
So that's how they would, to me, that's how they would usher in something like a Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome feel to Black Rock and start marketing it in a way to where they could really start, you know, building an infrastructure to when the shit hits the fan, they would you would really see that really start to come about, because now it would be a 24/7, 365, no law enforcement, no nothing. Everybody's gonna want to fucking be a fucking steampunker and shit. And it would be like a new society. They would live a new society out there. It would be a barter system of, you know, this, that, and the third. I think there would be sections and fractions of that, say, community that would go out and pillage and then bring this shit back there and fucking create everything they want. Or even take somebody's, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. So, I mean, I've seen so much, you know, I work in the construction field. We waste so much lumber and steel and metal and aluminum. It's fucking insane. It's insane. I mean, I could have built, I mean, if this society was like, oh, you know, you can use all kinds of wood to build your house, I could have built a house. I mean, it wouldn't look too fucking cool, but it'd be a house nonetheless. You know what I mean? I mean, you could build houses out of pallets. You could build houses out of fucking dirt if you wanted to. So, I mean, it's the way society is structured that puts this, you know, oh, your house has to look this way for it to be worth anything. I mean, shit, if somebody gave me a house and it was, I mean, there's people that homestead, they buy their land for $30,000, they go up there, they fucking built their own house, they shit in a fucking another part of, you know, a barn or something. Like, who cares? I mean, I could piss and shit and do that there. That's not a problem. That's not a problem. Now we can sell that house for 50, 60 grand. Okay, make 50, 60 grand. Come on, what is going on here? Beep a fucking horn. My Lord, it's a fucking green light. What are we doing? Wow, guys. What is going, wow, that's fucking insane, bro. That's insane. And nobody beeps a horn, you fucking imbeciles. You guys are fucking imbeciles. 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 So, so that's BlackRock. And BlackRock is also owned by, I think, Larry Fink of BlackRock Investments. And that supposedly is supposed to be some, you know, a Illuminati type feel, if you will. Larry Fink's got a lot of power and is well connected to, you know, political people and shit. I think Hillary Clinton comes to mind. So he is well and connected. And that's why I guess I wanted to touch on, that's why you see the wildfires in Alaska, because, you know, they are slowly taking out the indigenous people that occupy those lands. And they're going to, you know, in the next, you know, 50, 80 years, that place you'll be able to, you know, rent, because there won't be no heritage there to claim no more. You know what I mean? So, and also it's prime real estate. You know what I mean? I mean, that's untapped. That area is all untapped. And then, mind you, they got to give people $1,000. Well, you know, for the oil reserve fund that they built there and all the other minerals they can get. So once they phase them out, and they're doing in Hawaii, Alaska, I'm sure that, you know, they won't touch the Indians, because the Indians are already making money through the casinos. So they're all set. They got their beaks wet. And now it's just, and I'm sure there'll be some kind of heritage people that will still own some type of land in Alaska and in Hawaii and things of that nature, but it won't be a lot, and they'll be able to be bought. So, you know, next comes that type of shit. I'm getting the fuck out of here. Y'all make a good lord. Yeah, what the hell's going on down there? So, there's some fucking fear. Oh, this fear is happening today. And so, it's crazy. So, and I think that something will happen, you know, in time, whether that's a,
a UFO thing or a false flag of some sense. You know, something's going to be coming about soon, because it seems like every 10, 15 years something happens. The last big thing we had was 9/11, and I'm just waiting for something else to really give us that, shit, you know, we got something going on this time around, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's crazy to see how this country's going to be and where it's going. It just makes me nervous, you know what I mean? I'm even nervous for my son, you know, because I hope that... there was a quatrain, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but Nostradamus, and in one of those quatrains, he says America will be in a downward spiral, and of course, we went down a downward spiral probably, you know, for about 15 years, and they said that this was like in the beginning of the Iraq war, and we would be in war for a long time, and all this and all that, but then we would regain our status as the beacon of the world, and we would be 2 times stronger than what we were when this country had started. So, I'm trying to see when that might happen, and it's looking like, you know, we still got a couple more years of this weird shit, and then we'll be back on the right road of righteousness. So, when Donald Trump first served his first term, I says, wow, you know, I'm wondering if this is, you know, this is Nostradamus coming out to be right. I don't know if somebody can check it out, but, you know, and the thing was is that the source at that time for me to, you know, catch these little things was like the Sun or the Inquirer, you know, these little papers your grandmother, well, at least my grandmother bought. And I just remember reading one, and I says, you know something, I'm gonna, because this was like right around 9/11 and all that jazz. I'd have to say, yeah, 2006. So it was around like a little after 9/11, and we just went, you know, it was about 6 years into the war. So I'd say like about 06, 07. And it was crazy. And then in one of his quatrains is that America was going to be in the shits for a while. But then after that would regain its stature in the world again as the dominating power. So when Trump served his first term, I thought that was a little bit of the comeback story that Nostradamus was talking about. So when Trump lost, I was like, fuck, it's not him. It's not that. So I'm thinking, you know, after Joe... And all, and so now all this shit, because I'm like, you know what, it doesn't seem right, because there's not the seeds being laid, and now what you see Democrats turning out on their face, you know, all this stuff, and Joe Biden starting to be exposed, and the Democrats being exposed, it's just really starting to put a real new damper where any Democrats are going to really start to return, become Republican, and this is going to set us on the path of righteousness when we have, you know, three terms presidents, they were all Republicans, so that's what, 8, 16, freaking 20, 24 years worth of Republican rule, to where we have, you know, rights and wrongs, if you will, and releasing some of these regulations that Democrats hold dear to their ass, that we would be able to prosper as a nation and be able to outsource a lot of some of our minerals, get stronger alliances, you know, and things like that. So, I mean, and for the most times that Democrats have been in power, nothing has worked for me. But when Trump was in office, whether you hate him, you like him, gas was cheap for me. My rent wasn't fucking going up. Food wasn't flying. Wasn't going up. I mean, I was happy. It wasn't that fucking stressful. That's the first time I've ever felt economic relief, and it was from a Republican. I've been a Democrat most of all my life until the last since Trump. Or a little bit, about two years before Trump. I voted for Obama, and that was the last time I voted for a Democrat. Ever since then, I voted Republican, and it's all worked out for me. Every time somebody, like, there was in office, it benefited me. It didn't hurt me. So, you know, I don't know what it is to you guys, but for me, I think everybody's starting to wake up, and you can see a lot of black people that, black Spanish people that love Trump, and he's very popular. So, I just wanted to talk about what I felt in the news, and I wanted to get that off my chest, so I figured I'd come on and spew a little bit of that, and hope you guys were entertained and you like it. And if you do, can you give this episode a thumbs up? I'm going to really try to make a good conscious effort to keep going with this, because I like talking about it, and I like just to see how people see the both sides of the spectrum, and see if people see what I see, and things like that. So if you have any questions, feel free to drop a comment, share this with a friend. You could pose a question, and you can also, if you want to, you can also email me at waymanlanson4@gmail.com, and I'll be putting up a website, and I'll need to learn how to make one or create. I know how to get one, I just don't know how to make it. So if anybody has any ideas or can help me out with that, what's for cheap, let me know. Anyways, guys, enjoy your weekend, and I'll catch you on the flip. Peace. So tell me, what's going to happen when everybody's starting to get sick of the migrant situation, you know, whether it be kicking out veterans out of their, you know, out of the place that they're staying at to make way for migrants, whether it's, you know, supporting Ukraine instead of taking care of Hawaiians, you know, shutting down the border so we can stop the flow of illegal people coming through, you know, so that's fine and all. So now you have the migrants, they're in here, they're in a hotel, let's say. What happens when they're full, when they're starving and they're saying, hey, why can't we can't get a job, we can't get this, we can't get that. So they flick on the news and they're talking amongst their friends, and they see, they kick open up to the news of, say, let's just say they're in there now, and they say, hey, what's Americans do when they're starving? Oh, this is what they do. Here, check this out.
Yeah, a fight broke out near the 1,163 resident illegal alien shelter at the former Standard Club. It was one of several brawls that have erupted at illegal alien flop houses across the city. Most of the shelters are in residential neighborhoods dominated by small businesses, and the friction between business owners who complain that the loitering migrants are destroying their businesses, residents who feel unsafe, and the migrants stuffed into shelters could blow open at any time. Chicago alderman, there's a tweet here, a Chicago alderman sounds the alarm over an increase in prostitution, drug sales, fights, and migrant shelters in the city.
Okay, so you got prostitution, drug sales, all in near the migrants. So hey, look, I don't care who you are. We all got to get laid. We all got to eat. If they got drug problems or they're trying to get into, they're starving. They got nowhere to make money, but they all got to eat. So now they're going to say, well, we can't get no money, but what's the people out in Philly or Chicago do? Oh, you know what they do, Mita? They go fucking run into the stores and grab everything they want and they just run out. Oh, wow, doesn't the Polizia come get them? No, as a matter of fact, they'll pick us up and they'll let us right out. That's what they do for the Americans, but you know what they're going to do for us? They're going to just let us go back and give us a piece of paper to say come back in 18 months like they did down the border. Like, you know how we're supposed to go back in 18 months down to Arizona to fill out go for the court hearing to become a citizens or whatnot? We got to be back there in 18 months. They'll give us a piece of paper after we commit the crime. When they release us from jail, they'll say, yeah, you got to come back in 18 months to see the judge. Are you serious, Mita? Yeah. All right, well, fuck it. Let's go get some food now. So now you're going to have a whole bunch of illegal immigrants that you can't put into the system for offenses, for offenses, you know, rendered, if you will. And they're going to live wherever they want. They're going to do whatever the fuck they want. So what's going to happen? And this is my take on the whole thing. Is that we all know this weekend in Chicago, we're going to have at least, it's fair to say you're going to have over a dozen murders. There's going to be a dozen homicides this weekend in Chicago. Okay? Now, what happens when those kids start turning on the migrants? Because they're going to say, well, hey, if nobody's going to do something about these migrants, and oh, what, they got nowhere to live, there's no documentation, they're undocumented, so that means if we fucking pop them and bury them, nobody's really going to know what happened, right? Fair to say, yeah.
So these kids, it's going to be open season on these migrants, okay? So somebody should get on the horn and say, listen, any of you that are thinking of coming over to America, what's going to happen is the American officials are going to drop you somewhere in the United States. And as we speak, there is about a dozen states that have a lawless laws, whether it's, you know, a Democratic-run sanctuary city that you and I both know they're going to get nothing for the crimes that they commit or offenses that they might do to anybody in the area. So these kids are going to say, well, fuck it. They just fucked up my mother from going down to the store and they just mugged her. So now I'm going to go back and I'm going to take out 8 of those guys. Okay? So once you start seeing the violence taking place, so right now the violence is taking place on the small businesses. Okay? And it's just, you know, it's the street level crime. What's going to happen is those kids from the fucking Wild Hundreds of Chicago or, you know, South Philly, you know what I mean, Roxbury, Dorchester, Mattapan, they are going to start going after these migrants because they're not only taking from everybody else, but they're actually taking more from the hoods than they are taking from other neighborhoods. Now, you know, you say what you want, but people, if you take Democrat, listen, Nahant, Massachusetts is an oasis for billionaires, okay? Well, Governor Abbott sent up, I don't know, maybe like 40 fucking, a bus full of migrants up to Nahant, okay? Now, you see all these people in Nahant. Nahant streets, you could probably eat off the fucking streets. That's how clean it is over there. So, what happened was is that those migrants were literally there for, I think, roughly maybe, I think is at max, maybe 15 hours. 15 hours, and they were put on a plane, a military jet, and sent to a military base. Because the folks, the Democratic folks in Nahant, didn't want them to be there. So they sent them to a military base. Well, wait a minute, I thought you liked these people. I thought you cared for these people. I thought you wanted to take care of these people. I mean, you voted for this person, so your views and your lines, your ideology line up the same. So no poor person starving or broke or homeless, shelterless, should be out in the streets, correct, Nahant? And all you Democratic libertarians and shit. Well, then let them sit at your house. Just like we wanted socialism. Ask the biggest Democrat for a fucking $10 bill. See what happens. Ask them to stay at your house. See what happens. Ask them if you can siphon some gas out of their tank. See what happens. Okay? I've been a Democrat for a big chunk of my life. And it wasn't until before Donald Trump, it was right at, like, during the ass end of fucking Obama's presidency, I says, you know, here's a black guy that does nothing for the black community. Nothing. Nothing. This guy does nothing. And not only that, he's not even fucking 100% African. He's fucking American. He's 50% white. So much so that when he has sex, he has a lover that is white. Listen, all I'm saying is that here's the deal. It's countdown until the fucking people of America and all these hoods and shit start turning on the fucking migrants, because they're going to start taking what little the hoods have. And they're going to say, oh, hold on, fucking meter. I ain't with that Guadaguala shit. Y'all fucking come over here and I'm going to pop your ass. All right? Because you're going to start eating. You're going to be taking from my mouth. You know what I mean? You start taking food from my mouth or my family's mouth, there's going to be problems. So all these little displays of vandalism is of looting in large numbers, what do you think the migrants are going to do? They're going to say, shit, we're in large numbers, we're undocumented, nobody knows where we live, we have no fucking sustainable home, and we're stuck in the United States. Let's go do what the Americans are doing. Let's rob these fucking places 20 at a time. See what happens. I mean, the same fundamentals go to the migrants that are here. Okay, I've met Mexicans that work in construction and roofing. They save their pennies. What happened was is they take 14 to 15 of Mexicans, wives, kids, they buy a house. Those all 15 people live in that fucking house for 2 years, save all their credits, they fucking open up a fucking business, a roofing business, and guess what? They got everybody working. They got the father, the men are working, husbands are roofing, the wives are down there cleaning up the grounds, and the kids are sitting there fucking flagging the fucking people across the fucking street, okay? So don't tell me that they ain't gonna have this, you know, guerrilla mentality to go out and be able to, you know, pillage the town to be able to get a good jump off the ground. Now, you don't see any Mexicans that are fucking roof is that are on a roof right now, 8 at a time, banging out roofs a day. We're talking 25 squares, 30 squares a day. These fucking guys are knocking out, and they're starting their day at 7 a.m., 6:40, 6:30 a.m., and they're going till 8:30 till the sun goes fucking down. That's how long they work, and they work fucking hard. So all those guys that are doing their fucking thing, and their business owners, and they're Mexican, you don't see them putting their money where their mouth is for their other countrymen. Oh, hell no, because they already know how hard it is. And you don't think those people are sitting there and saying, hey, for all the money that I'm fucking making and I'm pouring into my business and doing what I got to do as a businessman, you got these fucking people coming over and taking everything that fucking I'm giving to them. You know what I mean? As far as tax money's concerned, this is concerned, that is concerned. I mean, they're taking everything. They're taking everything. So it won't be long before you see a lot of fucking people going after Mexicans for the reasons that I've just listed. And it's not going to be a pretty sight. It's not. Especially when the government shuts down. You got to understand that, right? I mean, like, people are fucking sick and tired of it. Sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of it. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure you are, and I'm sure your neighbors are. And it's only the fabric of this country is solely based on the security apparatus of the police. Okay? So once you erase that fundamental from your head, it's open season. Do you know what I mean? Like, people won't run a red light because they think a cop's around. And even if they run the red light, they're going to think that they were fucking busted. They got busted, or they were seen by a cop or something like that. They, you know, or the cops got cameras on the poles in small country towns that they ain't going to fucking, you know, they won't dare run a red light, let alone try to rush a light when it's yellow. Do you know what I mean? The fear of, like, getting arrested. I mean, everybody think that, you know what I mean? But the thing is that when you call a cop, it takes some take 5 minutes, some take 10, all depending on where you live. So in 10 minutes, do you know how much damage one can do in 10 minutes? Do you know what I'm saying? So that whole illusion that you're safe and protected by the cops that protect the city, you're solely mistaken. You're solely fucking mistaken. And that's not only the big part. The big part is not what you know, it's what you can prove. You know, and that door swings both ways. I mean, shit, you could be somebody that's innocent and convicted for something that you didn't do, you know? And then you could be, you know, totally guilty for something and be exonerated. So, it's just the illusion of security is so paramount in people's head, to the point where they just, you know, they think that they're totally protected, like they're bulletproof or something. You know, I mean, I seen a video, one guy, you know, he's a comedy guy, and he's fucking with the kid on the street, and he's like, get away from me, he's like, get out of my face. But meanwhile, the big guy keeps walking into the kid, and he's telling him to get out of his face. I'd say, well, stop walking into me. You know what I mean? What the fuck? So, the guy then fucking sits there and says, I'm gonna call the cops. And, you know, you're sitting there down, you got your head down, now all of a sudden, you know, he got the security just because he's got the phone in his hand, and he's gonna call the cops, that, like, some fucking, you know, some magical thing, a magical instance, like a cop's gonna just hop out of the tree and be able to apprehend the criminal. Like, no, it's gonna take time for him to respond. And meanwhile, you have to deal with the situation at hand. So what is my point? My point is that the thing is that what happens when the, when that's why these kids are able to rush a store 30, 40 deep, or go into a mall, rush it 30, 40 deep, or smashing grabs on jewelry stores, is because at the end of the day, these kids know how long a response time is going to take a cop. And then, oh, by the way, some of these cops ain't going to run into buildings where shots are being fired. Like, say, the officer in the... put the school, do you know what I mean, in Florida. So, you know, now you're basing your ass, you're hoping somebody that covers your ass that is as normal as you. You know, these policemen, they go home and they drink beers and they do this, they live normal lives just like all of us. They don't go home and, you know, start fucking working out, eating a bunch of fucking green teas, make sure the antioxidants got all the infectious fucking shit out of their skin and their pores and things of that nature. No, they just go home, pop a fucking TV dinner in the oven, grab a beer, sit down on the couch and call it a fucking day. You know what I mean? And then now you're out there. Or you might live next to the guy and say, oh, well, there's a cop next door, I feel secure. But your house gets broken into and you're saying, Jesus Christ, I got a cop that lives right next door, my house gets broken into. Well, yeah, that shit can happen. Nobody, there's not a fucking sign that says, hey, a cop lives here. Do you know what I mean? And you shouldn't be naive to the fact that think that this one cop is solely there for you, to protect you and everything that you own. You think he's fucking sweating you? No. But everybody has this inclination that, you know, why do cars don't pass the fucking cop car on the highway? If you're doing the speed limit and the fucking cop is not, and you pass him, that is a lawful fucking pass, because guess what? You're going the speed limit, and if he chooses to run it, drive it 55 and you're driving 60, then so be it. Tell him to speed up another 5 miles per hour. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it's just these weird things that just people do when they see a cop. They're so fucking, you know, zapped with fear. It's insane, to the point where it doesn't allow them to judge and think rationally about the situation and say, okay, well, listen, this man's pulling me over for absolutely nothing. I got him dead to rights. You know what I mean? And let that be that, you know. But listen, I just wanted to come on here and drop a quick thing, like, you know, what happens when the migrants start turning on the people, and I'm sorry, excuse me, what happens when ordinary Americans start going after the people, or what happens when the hood starts going after the migrants? Now you're going to have a real big fucking situation on your hands. Oh, when the migrants start looting and pillaging just like Americans do, then you're going to really start to see some shit hit the fan. But other than that, guys, enjoy your Thursday. I love yous all. I'll see you in a few days. Peace.